Hello and welcome to Truth to Power. Truth to Power is a program where we bring up issues happening in and around Nigeria, most especially in communities that have been persecuted. And these persecuted communities are scattered mostly around the Middle Belt and Northern Nigeria. Today on the program, we shall go on with where we stopped in the last edition, where we attempted to look at the history and, of course, the impact on communities. On the program today, we'll go further to see how this impact also directly affects the economic life of persons living in these persecuted minority groups in Northern and Central Nigeria. My name is Ehis Agbor. Today on the podcast, I have a gentleman. He's a journalist, a reporter, and one that has done several works around persecuted communities and, of course, areas in Nigeria where bandits are having a field day. Let me welcome Mike Ode Akatu to the podcast today.
Thanks, big boss. Yes.
All right.
Nice. You're welcome.
Mike, looking at the issue of persecution in Nigeria, some people don't want to see it as persecution. They give it different colorations. But for you, is it persecution that is happening, or what exactly is happening?
It's persecution and state-sponsored persecution, per se. And I'll be very honest with you. You see, prior to Shegun's travels to the bandits' camp, the federal government would not want to admit that they were an organized group of persons killing people in the Middle Belt. I hope you understand what I'm saying, and in the North. The federal government, Buhari himself, said these guys are from Libya. They are from Libya at one time. The other time, again, he said they are from Niger. He don't want to really say anything about it. But when Bumi traveled to Katsina, to Zamfara, to Niger, he discovered that there were huge, numerous persons who have arms and ammunition and are controlling territories. And from there, they launch attacks on persecuted communities. And all of a sudden, again, these people are known by their tribes. They are Fulani herdsmen. And I'm not saying all the Fulanis are guilty of such. In short, that is why we call them Fulani herdsmen. There are Fulanis that are living just like you and I, millions of them. They are not bothered about all these things. In short, a lot of them too are victims of this very persecution, of these very killings that is happening. So when Buhari came to power and these killings was ongoing, he started talking to the media, he started intimidating the media not to use the term Fulani. They should use herdsmen. And people were wondering, why are you saying they should not use Fulanis? Why don't you call white, speed is speed? And maybe it was because of his tribe. So we later had to say, okay, it is no longer Fulani, but herdsmen. But we know even the herdsmen are also Fulanis, no matter how you call them. Then the government went silent. The government never really wanted us to see these people are organized and they are killing. Are you getting it? And I'll take you back to 2018, if you remember, on Ground Zero, when Benue lost about 72 of its victims, 72 of its citizens. The governor of Benue organized a mass burial, and he invited the media, international media, to come and cover it. And for that reason, he was actually chased out of APC, the ruling party. He decamped not too long to PDP. The president in particular was not happy about him giving mass burial to people that were slaughtered.
And even such publicity.
And then you begin to ask, what is the interest of the president? Why is he hiding the fact that herdsmen who has openly stated that we did this thing, Gololo never hid it. He said they did it in return for the revenge killing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so, Gololo, also the president was not really happy. And then, again, in Ondo State, when the killings by the same organized persons were happening, coming from the Ondo Forest, Governor Akeredolu gave all the dwellers in the forest, including the herdsmen, 7 days to quit the herdsmen, to quit the forest of Ondo and come and register with them. The government, the federal government, who has no authority, jurisdiction over the state, reacted that they should not go anywhere. You know, so that's why I said they are state sponsored. And you see, now, when you say it is not, when people want to argue it is not a persecution, what is it? When a particular set of persons organize themselves and say this is what we are going to do to this particular set of people, and it is continuing, and the government seems not to have an answer or deliberately refuse to have an answer, I've delved into Benue. Let's go to Southern Kaduna.
Yeah.
The killings have been ongoing. And I will give you another example. When the Adara community came out to speak out, I covered their protest one Black Friday in Zangwekata. And they were so vociferous. And they stated they listed the numbers of times their people have been killed. They listed the villages and they pointedly accused the administration of they accused the Elrufa administration of lackluster behavior towards them. And they also said that the military would not take action when these bandits, these herdsmen, known as Fulani herdsmen, come to attack them. Elrufa be there this time before he would go. He banned, he prescribed the Adara. I mean the Chidna and the community, the organization that spoke out. Again, Elrufai was on Channels Television saying that Christian clerics are fond of going to international community to say that churches have been burnt by herdsmen, so that the international community will give them money. And then they can rebuild the church. And even said that the government is tracking them, taking record, security agencies on them, and at a date, those people will be brought to book. You can never see Elrufai saying that about the Fulani herdsmen, about the Hausas, but only the community where those people were persecuted. Now let's go to Plateau State. Before the coming of the former governor, Plateau has also been at the butt of the killings. The Fulanis were killing and they were killing and they were killing. And there is this Major General Sally, I've forgotten his other name, that was brought to head the tax force. And the Birom youths have always been shouting that the tax force under General Sully was prosecuting the Birom youths to the point of shooting them rather than shooting at the bandits or the people killed the Fulani, killing them. In those days, when you get up, it's not uncommon to hear news that 20 have been slaughtered by Fulani bandits on the plateau. 30 has been slaughtered. And my brother, Mr. Hayes, Nigeria has the land component of an armed forces. We've been to Liberia, we restored peace to Liberia, Sierra Leone. We were in Tanzania in the 60s. We fought a bloody civil war, we incorporated the East back. We were in Lebanon, we were in Somalia when the Americans failed woefully. You understand? We have more than 150,000 soldiers.
Yeah.
We have Air Force, we have the Navy, we have the paramilitary such as the civil defense who are also under arm. We have others. But the killings in Plateau defy all odds. Is it that the government is afraid of taking action? We don't know. Now, the killings persisted. And I will tell you something again. Jang, who was then the governor, raised an alarm sometimes that some people were caught carrying arms and they were arrested by the police. the jurisdiction of the police, the Plateau State Police Command, was supposed to put them in Plateau, those people that were caught.
Yeah.
But the army under Yar Adua took them to Abuja. And I stand to be corrected. One of those that were arrested, Mama Nob, later, when the army took them to Abuja, Jang complained seriously that they have been taken to Abuja and they'll be freed. One of those that was arrested in Plateau ended up planning the bombing of the United Nations headquarters in Abuja. His name is Mama Nob. After the bombing, he escaped to Somalia. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So somehow, we have a federal government who is in charge of the armed forces. And we have the civilian president, democratically elected, who is the commander, well, represented by the president, who is the commander, and they are refusing from Yar Adua down to Buhari, and probably, I don't know, Tinubu for now, they refused to take action.